Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
There was just a moment of delay there, and I was wondering if you were there on the other end. But you are.
You know, I'm here. You got it.
So this is live call-in radio. Magic number to talk to us today about the stock market, bond market, your portfolio, hot tip that somebody gave you. We can look it up, see how hot it is. 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. If you were not on this morning's stock market update webinar, you can get a replay link when it's finished processing. All you have to do is send us an email to let us know, and that is help@iriradio.com. Put update in the subject line, and we'll be glad to send you a replay link. You can watch it on your own time. Full of information about the Fed, the market, the dollar, international markets that are and things that are supposed to work to be diversifiers that are failing, just like the stock market has been this year. There has been the only place to hide has been in cash or the U.S. dollar, which is the catalyst for many of the problems that investors are facing today.
True enough.
But you want to talk to us about any of those related subjects, 800-465-8770. So over the, the last 40 years, the primary underlying, well, there have been a couple underlying mantras for the market, one of which is the market always goes up, which is a sales talk that denies the presence of bear markets. Basically, just don't look at it, because eventually you'll be okay, as long as eventually is your time frame. But the other one, I think I really started hearing it in, in wide use after the 87 bear market, which is don't fight the Fed. Just don't fight the Fed.
And ever, today, in fact, that's one of the ones that's actually really kind of followed. You don't fight the Fed, you're going to lose. So something to pay attention to.
So in the recent market, since the Fed started raising interest rates, it's kind of been replaced with don't fight the dollar, because a rising dollar causes lots of damage globally in all sorts of assets.
It does. The dollar is the baseline for lots of currency exchanges. And when it gets stronger, meaning it's more valuable, that throws all the other markets off. It really does change what they need to do and change where their currency is, and that changes the value of everything internationally.
So when the dollar goes up, other currencies go down. Companies that do business internationally, like Walmart, Boeing, Johnson & Johnson, IBM, Amazon...
It's almost
Alphabet.
Everybody now, isn't it? Yeah, there's no, it's like, I want a domestic stock. Really? Do you really? That's a tough one to find. So
that's probably going to be a small cap company, small company that doesn't have a big market share yet.
But on these
big multinationals, they're doing business overseas. And when they sell stuff in Japan, they get paid in yen. Well, they bring that yen back. In order to bring that yen back to the United States, they have to buy U.S. dollars with it. And when the dollar's stronger, that means it takes more yen to buy a dollar of their net profit. And so the result is their real profits end up shrinking. When profits shrink, investors don't like that.
Now, that's never a good thing. That gets reflected in stock values, and everyone gets concerned at that point that, hey, what's going on here, and why is it happening?
So the investment community, let's call it Mr. Market, is saying, what are you doing? What's the Fed doing here? I mean, we've got what you ignored inflation. You told us it was transitory, and now you're saying it isn't. What on earth is the plan? Because we don't like losing money. And all this last week, ever since the last rate hike of 0.75%, the various representatives from the regional Federal Reserve banks have been out making speeches, as they always do, whether it's Kiwanis or Lions or Rotary or a university club of some sort. Their job is to go out and reinforce what the Fed chair has laid out as the policy. Now, he doesn't do this autocratically, though I'm sure he would like to, but it would be
right,
easier.
Right.
Fed policy is by consensus of all the 12 regional presidents, six of whom are always voting. The other six are sitting around offering opinion. It's kind of like having teenagers at home. they have an opinion saying, hey, Dad, we should be doing this. And Dad says, over my dead body.
The adult opinion's always wrong. Yeah, also, yeah.
That's
so
right.
Just get used to it. You're going to be wrong.
So, that's since the last Fed hike, just last week, the week before. So we have these regional presidents out making speeches, and they are of one accord, at least this week, that we are committed. We are going to nip inflation. We're going to knock their knees out from underneath them, and they are going to fall flat down, whatever those factors are. Well, except the Fed can't. What can the Fed do? It can't do anything about supply chain.
Nope.
It can't do anything about inventory. It can't do anything about government policy, which is exacerbating inflation instead of working with the Fed to try and control it. So it's basically the only rational captain at the helm of a ship. I'm thinking of our current ships. It's kind of, I'm thinking it's a better illustration would be we have Washington trying to cross the Delaware. One half of the boat is rowing in the right direction, and the other half of the boat's rowing in the opposite direction.
You don't make a lot of progress that way.
Yeah,
that's not that's not good for either direction.
Ugh. So that's kind of where the Fed stands right now, and they're saying we are going to fight inflation, we're going to raise rates until this deal is won, and we're going to win it. Unless, of course, what are referred to as the bond vigilantes show up in Washington, D.C. and the Treasury market like they did last week with the Bank of England and the gilt market. Gilt, that's not G-U-I-L-T, that's G-I-L-T,
right.
which is the,
right.
the nickname for their treasuries. They're the British gilts. And they just decimated the market because the government said, we're going to lower taxes, and we are going to borrow money to stimulate the economy when they're already dealing with, for them, a 40-year high in inflation, just like we are. Now, theirs isn't as high as ours, but it's close. I guess it actually is. I think it's 10. They
yes.
actually hit 10.
They're over us, yeah.
But the bond vigilantes showed up, and they just destroyed the bond market one day. And the next day, Bank of England changed its collective mind and said, oh, I guess that was the wrong thing to do. And they reversed policy, or what we would refer to in our news media as the pivot. The Bank of England did a massive pivot last week. And so what was down one day was up the next.
And anytime you get a pivot in one day, that means you were wrong. So they had to take a day and think about it and reflect on what actually it was going to occur. And they're like, oh, okay, let's not quite as disastrous as we thought it was. And so we're going to have to reverse field here pronto. And man, that's really where we are in all kinds of markets these days. Day to day, there's almost no connection between what's going on.
So the net result is, in case you hadn't noticed, the market's really messed up.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly what it is. It is messed up. There's a technical term for you.
You want to talk to us about it? It's 800-465-8770. It's open line at 800-465-8770. So we think about what the Fed did and what Bank of England did. Normally, before any significant decision or change in interest rate occurs, they'll spend months, 3, 4, maybe 6 months of somebody will go out and make a speech and say, well, we're thinking about, well, the last time we met, there was discussion about, and that goes on for months after months, because the theory is central banks are supposed to be contributing to stability in financial markets. Hasn't worked out well this year.
Not really, no.
So in order to make a 3% hike in interest rates could take a couple of years in normal circumstances. And this year, the Fed did it in a few months. No wonder people are frightened about what's next, because it looks like central bankers around the world have hit the panic button. What do we do now? And how do we tell the public?
Collectively, together, they're all out there saying, hey, wait a minute. Inflation is raging worldwide, and we told everybody it was probably just going to go away. Nothing to see here. It's going to be fine. And then it turns out that that is far, far from the truth. And so they are way behind. So that's why they're in a frenzy to raise rates right now, because they're trying to catch up. They know they missed it, and they don't feel good about being that far behind while everyone was telling them, hey, you guys are behind here. You need to square this away. And they said, don't worry, we've got this. Inflation is not going to be a problem. 100% wrong. So they're scrambling to catch up. It doesn't make their prognostication powers look very good. And it's not good for the economy when things move that drastically. It makes things very difficult, which, like you said, Don, that's why things are in a bit of a knot right now. And it makes it very difficult to navigate what's happening out there. But we try our best. We try to let you guys know what we're doing, so you can kind of see, you know, how we're reacting to what all of this is. And if you'd like to really see how that happens, you really should tune into our monthly webinar. We had one this morning, well attended, and great questions. It's a really good time to kind of get a feel about what's going on in the market and the economy in general, and what are the biggest drivers. We took a pretty deep dive into the Fed this morning and international markets and how the Fed is affecting markets here. The next one is on the calendar. It's scheduled for November 5th, Saturday, November 5th, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That's IRIRadio.com. Just go to the webinar page, click the registration link. You'll get an email back. And then on November 5th, you just click that link. You'll be live online with us. And for once, you'll get to see these charts we keep talking about and take a look at what's going on out there in the economy. And there's always plenty of time for your questions. So if you have questions about the market or the economy, if you have questions about individual securities that are in your account, should they be there or not, good time to get a second opinion. Again, you can register for that at IRIRadio.com. If you have questions about any of those things this morning, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to talk to you at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours.
Yep, that's exactly what happened when the Bank of England decided to pivot and reverse its quantitative tightening and rate hiking policies, at least temporarily, until things settled out. Yeah. And it was an exciting week when we take a look at what happened. And the month itself, September, is down 9% for a little over 9% for the month. It's been a really challenging well, challenging year for that matter, but September was particularly so.
Historically bad. Yeah, historically down. Things we haven't seen before seem to happen every day now. So, yeah, boy, what a difference a day makes. Oof, a lot these days.
So one of the things that has pretty well been nailed down is that the 60-40 bond stock portfolio doesn't work. And buy the dip hasn't worked. It has been chasing investors out of the market with the losses, because the rallies, it dips and people buy in thinking, well, this is the end and it's going to, you know, I'm going to get all my money back. It's going to go higher. It's going to be profitable. And then it collapses again. And the collapsing rally collapse have been much, much stronger this year than normal, and the collapses have been lower and lower and lower. In fact, in the webinar today, I showed a chart of the last couple of years, and those buy the dips just worked, and they every low was higher than the last one until this year, and then
and
it didn't work anymore.
That's the difference between buying the dip during a bull market and buying the dip during a bear market. It makes a huge difference. If you're a buy the dip investor, though, a lot of times you don't make that observation that, hey, we're in a bear market now, and that buy the dip thing, we could be heading for lower lows at any time, and you need to be ready for that, and you shouldn't be surprised when it happens. That's what happens in a bear market. So buying the dip this year, not been a strong strategy.
So what's the problem here? Well, the problem is the Fed. We were talking about that in the first segment, and we did cover that in our webinar this morning. And if you didn't see that, if you didn't join us today and would like to get the replay link, send us an email, help@iriradio.com, and put update in the subject line, and we will send you the replay link as soon as the, well, either this weekend or Monday. I mean, right now the
when it gets done, yeah.
Yeah, it's being processed for redistribution while we talk. But let's talk about the Fed. I mean, my goodness, the Fed has been wrong all year long. Actually, they've been wrong more than a year, because they told us inflation was transitory, and even their own data warned them that inflation was rising. And they do business surveys. Each one of the Federal Reserve's branches does a survey of businesses in their district. And those surveys were coming back with business owners saying, our prices are rising. Costs are getting more expensive. Supply's a problem. Labor's a problem. We're going to have to raise our prices. We can't keep this up. Oh, let's try next month and see what they think next month. And the Fed just basically ignored that data for 6 months. Bank of England didn't ignore it. Bank of Canada didn't ignore it. The Brazil Central Bank didn't ignore it. Mexico Central Bank didn't ignore it. Australia's Central Bank didn't ignore it. But the Fed, no, I can't be real. I don't want to be bothered.
They didn't want it to be real anyway. They were really trying to hold off on doing anything. That might have been part of their, you know, the political side of the Fed, which, you know, they contend there's no political pressure. Baloney, there always is. And, you know, raising rates, you know, brings down the economy. Nobody wants that with midterm elections coming up. So they may have been trying to hold off for that, but inflation just forced their hand. There was no way to ignore it any longer. They ignored it as long as they could. And then they were forced into taking action.
Well, yeah, so they're behind the proverbial eight ball.
There you go.
No choice. And we are stuck now. What do? We have to play catch up. And they're basically stuck in the same position that a chess player is when they recognize there's no good move. I've lost.
That's when a chess player has a choice. They can resign, but the Fed,
okay,
they can't just walk away. They got to deal with this for now. and try to make the best outcome they can for the decisions they've already made. And that's one of the problems with investing in general. You know, the where you are today is a buildup of what's gone on before, and you can't change that. You can only change what's going on from this point into the future. And they're trying to adjust that, but like you said, Don, they're behind the eight ball, and it's really tough to catch up.
So one of the results of this oscillating between stimulating the economy and trying to slow it down in a very short time period is that it has raised the discussion of why on earth do we have a Federal Reserve Bank?
Who are they looking out for?
Yep.
Why are they there? Yep.
Clearly, they're not protecting the average American. It does appear that their decisions have been intended to maintain the invitation to Washington, D.C. social events, protect the people at the top. And there's obviously, because if they were looking in a mirror at themselves and saying, man, you've done a good job, I think the mirror would crack. You got to be kidding me.
Indeed, like I heard said, you know, usually the economy and interest rates, they move in cycles. And right now we don't have a cycle. We've got a circus. It's just on and off and up and down and left and right. It's just not something that should occur. Like you said earlier, Don, usually those kinds of rate increases happen over a long period of time. On average, you know, 25 basis points a meeting. And here we are, 75 basis points for two meetings in a row. And they're saying that it could be for three in a row. So it's really unprecedented, that the tightening that's going on right now. And it's because they're trying to catch up.
And you know, we talked about that in the webinar today. And I'm thinking about it in our break between then and now. And I'm thinking, they've been talking about this as a possibility. If they come back with less than 0.75 point hike this next time around,
yeah,
you want to bet that's not called the pivot, and all of a sudden we get this surge of money because the stock market's going to go up, the Fed is done raising interest rates, and we're back to a normal economy.
Wouldn't can't just see it happening just like that. Yep, you can just see that happening. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, wow.
You know, my comment about looking in the mirror, I was saying, what was the fairy tale? Was that Cinderella? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Yeah, that's
Beauty.
The Fed.
Sleeping Beauty.
Okay. the Fed looking in there and saying, and who's the best of them all? And the mirror is going to talk back and say, there's no stability. It ain't you, fella.
And that's their job. You know, the stable currency is one of their jobs. That's what they're there for. And they just don't have a handle on that right now. And that gives everyone that uncertainty makes everyone nervous in the market, and markets hate nothing more than uncertainty. That's the worst thing that can happen. And boy, not having a high degree of confidence in the Fed, even a high degree of what direction they're going to take, even if you don't believe they're right, if you're sure they're going to at least keep doing what they say, even that helps. And right now we're just in no man's land right now.
Well, one of the questions that came up at the webinar today was, well, in a recession, I should just stay out of the market. And the answer is no. And one of the other questions was, how do you know when the bottom's in? Well, that's a little more difficult. But in thinking about that, one of the problems in the market is looking for the trend. What's the overall condition? Is we typically use references to the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones. Some people, the media will talk about the NASDAQ, those three major indices. But in reality, they don't make up the market. I mean, there's thousands of other things that you can invest in the market. And so while current conditions are extremely difficult, and we use a cash bogey, and that cash bogey is right up at the top of our list, which means there's really nothing particularly attractive to be in at the present time. But that will change. And even in a recession, certain types of industries do well. You want to be back in the market. And you can't wait for the index to turn around and tell you that. You actually have to look at what you're going to buy or what you own to determine whether or not that is an acceptable position in your portfolio. So if you own automobile stocks, which are having supply chain problems, the question is, are you a long-term investor and you're willing to bear some more pain while the supply chain gets fixed? Or do you want to step aside and wait a while, maybe be able to buy in at a lower price, but maybe just because you eliminated volatility in your account, you're willing to wait a while and buy in at a slightly higher price when the risk issues seem to be mitigated somewhat. And that's an ongoing decision that requires a process and a discipline. And if you don't have one, you're in trouble. And if you're
especially
using 60,
days, yeah.
If you're using 60-40 as your process, you already know you're in trouble because it's not working.
It is not working, and that is it's a good time to point out that is not market timing. We do not engage in market timing. We're trend following, and right now the trend is down. So our overarching opinion is just stay out of the way and let the dust clear. And when things begin to regroup, follow the money back in the market. And so you're not out for good. You're not out for years. You know, we're usually in the market in cash relatively short periods of time because something somewhere firms up. But we never make a bet and say, well, that's it. This is the bottom's end. We're gonna make a move now. You always see that later. You identify when the bottom was. So you follow the trend, and that makes things at least a little more easy. And it's a disciplined process that allows you to leave the market and then re-enter the market in an orderly fashion. And that's so important. Okay, we are right here at the bottom of the hour. Time for another break. I'd like to remind everyone that we have a weekly email newsletter that we can review. It's a good look at current economic news, kind of gives a take on, you know, what's important out there and probably more importantly, what you can safely ignore, the things that the financial press may have blown way out of proportion, things that you shouldn't even consider looking at. If you'd like to start receiving that, you need to send us an email. Send that email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line. And we need your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. It goes out most Mondays, it's a nice piece. We have a large subscriber list. You can unsubscribe whenever you like, but we really don't get many people that tell us to go away. So it's a nice thing to get, a nice way to stay up to date on current events in the economic field. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at iriradio.com and log on for a free report. That's iriradio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometimes. Where you take, you gotta give some.
Jay Powell should be using that for his theme song every time he comes out and gives an update on what the FOMC has been doing.
Everybody break yourself, yeah. There may be a thorn or two here, yeah.
And they're saying, well, you know, we're going to do our best to not have a recession, but there is going to be some pain, and that's probably unavoidable.
Yep.
A person who has made an effort at avoiding the pain is Debbie, who took money out of her 401k. Debbie, you're on the air with Don and Perry.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I do have questions. Yes, I was really worried, you know, I guess it was a week ago Monday, and, you know, all we have for retirement is what we have. It's our 401k, and I'm getting close to retiring, and so once again with the panic, I called the firm. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it is, but anyway, I called the company and had them send me a check, and I know that I need to put that back someplace. And I probably only have so many days to do it, but I'm just scared to death right now. So what kind of options do we have?
So since you are anonymous here, can you tell us how old you are?
60 years old.
Okay, so you don't have penalties to deal with. If you would just have taxes if you don't get that reinvested within 60 days of the date of the check. So you need to open up an IRA account. And you also, they probably withheld taxes from that check. That does complicate how you get a complete rollover. If they withheld taxes, in order to avoid paying tax on the distribution, you need to get the check and the tax money out of your other savings into an IRA within 60 days from the date of that check. If you just put the check in there, you're still going to have some distribution, and the IRS already has a tax deposit from your prior custodian. But that's your first thing to do. You don't want to have the whole thing as income this year and have to pay taxes on the entire distribution next April. So get that done first.
I did open up an IRA with another company, and so I had them make the check out to that company. That's what they told me to do, that I had.
Okay. And that's the right thing to do. Thing to do. So get that money into the account. And your deadline is 60 days from the date the check was issued. Now, once you're in there, you're not working, I assume, anymore, since you took it out of the 401k.
Actually, no, I'm still working.
You're still working. Okay. So,
yes.
But once it's in an IRA, now you are in full control of your investment choices, and that leaves you with portfolio management decisions to make.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that's the part I'm scared. I don't want to reinvest in this market. I just don't have faith. So,
And justifiably so. This remains
not a bad call. Yeah,
yeah. So, by Monday we will have the replay link up on our website. I think we'll be able to get it up by then. Or you can send us an email, and I'll send you a replay link for today's webinar, which will give you some background. But if you want to get some understanding about making decisions that aren't driven by a financial firm's sales pitch, I'd suggest you go to our website and go to the video tab and just start watching the monthly webinars. And, you will get an education. And if you go back, we have them posted on there for more than 2 years. None of them are repetitive. Every one of them is dealing with the market as it exists, helping people understand what's going on at that time. So some of that explanatory stuff wouldn't be relevant in today's market, but it'd be preparatory. But the tail end of each one of those is how we make decisions and why we don't use the vanilla boilerplate 60-40 portfolio, which emphasizes bonds in the bond bear market. It makes no sense for your safety hedge to be a losing asset. And we're in a different kind of market, which is why the traditional stuff isn't working. And you have to do something else, and you're going to have to get some education. And the software we use
is... how much am I able to take out every year?
Well, you can take out as much as you want. I mean, there's no limitation on it. There is a minimum once you hit 70 and a half. There's a minimum that you're required to take out. But if you don't need any, you don't have to. You leave it in as long as possible.
It's
if
just you all do, taxable in the year you withdraw it. So it's not tax-free when you take it out of the IRA. It's all taxable in that year as regular income.
So if I was retired, it would make more sense because then I'm not making as much, and so I'd pay less tax on it?
That's the assumption, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
You are welcome, and I do recommend the website is irradio.com. That's a shortcut, irradio.com, and click on the video tab. And take some time before you make a decision on what to invest in and watch. Spend some, I'm talking about hours. You don't have to do it all at one time. But you will get smarter if you watch all of them that we did this year. I mean, that gives you some background.
That will be the homework.
Okay. All right. And then if you've got questions along the way, you can always call us at the office or send us an email. The contact information's on the site. So thanks for being out there.
Okay,
good luck to you, Debbie, as you work your way through this new stage of responsibility, personal responsibility over how your money's invested. And that frees up a line. The magic number is 800-465-8770. Did we go through a break?
No, we're good to go. We're good to go.
Okay. Yeah. We're just getting down to the end of the show. So if you want to talk to us, give us a call, 800-465-8770. So for a lot of people, this is their first bear market. And it's no fun.
Ever.
no fun whatsoever.
It doesn't matter how many bear markets you've been through. They don't get better. Yeah, it's just that you can recognize more of what's going on, but bear markets are no fun ever.
So as I pointed out in the webinar today, over the last couple of years, the market goes up and it drops a little bit, and then it would bounce and it would drop a little bit, but it was a higher low. And then it would go up and then drop a little bit, and it would be a higher low. And that just reinforced by the dip, because the market always goes up until it doesn't, which is this year. So from January, the first major leg down was -12%. You say, well, you know, 10's pretty normal, just market noise. And it rose 11. You think, oh, we're on our way back up. And then it rolled over and it dropped 20. And that wasn't any fun. That worked all the way down to a new low in June, mid-June. And it rose 17%. Well, it looks like we finally have our footing, and the worst is behind us. Except in technical terms, it ran into the 200-day moving average and stubbed its toe, or ran into
is a good way to put it. Yeah, ran into it and bounced right off of it.
And so it fell 9%. You're thinking, okay, but it didn't go all the way down. So June looks like the bottom. And it rallied 5%. Oh, yeah. June's going to be the bottom, and we're going to start working our way back up, until a little over a week ago when it fell 6% and it dropped below the June low. So that leaves the question. Next week, if it rallies and it doesn't go lower, the June low may be the June low. That may be the market bottom. But if it does go lower, June turns into just a bottom on the way to finding out where the bottom is. And right now we don't know.
We don't know, and we can't. Yeah, you can't know. That's always a rearview mirror item. You always look back and decide when that happens. So that's why it's so important to track the data. It's so important to look at what is going on in the market price-wise, volume-wise, and then make the best decision you can. And you're still not going to be right all the time. No one is. But the biggest danger is listening to anyone who tells you with confidence, well, that's it. The bottom's in. Time to buy. Let's go. Because it's the sell-off has been so big, it's got to be finished. It's not true. They have no idea, and markets can always go lower. So it's always better to track the data and ignore that narrative. We talk about that a lot here.
So during the week when the markets open, my day starts at 4 o'clock. So I'm listening to Fox Business and the different programs, Maria Bartiromo and Stuart Varney. And they are interviewing money managers who have well-known reputations, big shots, and they're pressing them. Well, what should I be buying? Should I be in the market? Is this in? Is this the bottom? Is this real value, or is it going to go lower? And every one of them is hedging. And then he said, well, you know, if you're really going to put money in, things are really cheaper than they were. So if you buy something today that's a major company that has, you know, a long-term track record and big market share, 10 years from now, you'll probably be happy you did that. Okay, that just means hold your nose, because there may be more bad news before it finally turns around and goes up.
And don't try to do anything different. Don't try to avoid the loss. Just buy it and then don't ever look again. Let's just buy and hold, you know, hoping it goes up over time, knowing that right now you could lose significantly more money in this market. But that's what happens if you just listen to them. And for everybody that they put on that says it's time to buy, we'll put on somebody else that says it's time to sell. So it's you have to remember what they're there for. They're there for ratings. They're not there to educate you. They're not there to give you any investment inside information. They don't have any. And so don't, you know, you have to take that stuff with a grain of salt and be prepared to back up what you do with your own data and the way that you run a portfolio, not because you heard somebody say something. That is just never, never a good call.
So I read an analysis.
We got to get out of here, Don. Now we're late for break. Now
we are. Okay.
Yeah, right. Now it's time for us to get our last break of the morning in here. Like to remind everyone that we have our next market update on the calendar set for Saturday, November 5th. At 9 o'clock in the morning. You can register for that update at iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. Just go to the webinar page and click that registration link, and you'll get an email back. You'll be good to go on November 5th. If you have any questions about that you'd like to get answered during that webinar, you can send that in early. Send that to help@iriradio.com, and we will make sure that we get to that. We always take enough time to work through all the questions that get asked. So if you have questions, it's a great time to get a second opinion. If you have questions this morning, feel free to give us a call. That's 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
This is Investor Resources, the program that sheds new light on your investment strategies. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Or email your question to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Well, Debbie, who was just on the line with us, could probably use a little help from Inspector Clouseau.
Right.
However, he wasn't very successful with his investigation.
Maybe someone else. Yeah.
Should be somebody else. but we were talking about where's the market in the bottom, and the fact that on television, as you pointed out, this is really financial entertainment. It's not investment advice. And so many of them are going to say, well, I don't believe in market timing, so I just hold through. You're telling me that you hold through 20 and 30 and 40% drawdowns and you don't do anything? I don't believe it. I mean, these guys are supposed to be professional in the business. So they have some core positions maybe, but they're not leaving the entire account to go through that mess. But
right.
I read an analysis this week on Ford, which was not just a few months ago. I was trading in the mid-20s, 23, 24 bucks. And Friday, I think, closed in 10 and a fraction. And it's right down at a level where, at this price previously, big money managers, institutionals, the dark pools, were buying Ford. Now, Ford announced, and the reason for its recent fall is that they're having supply chain problems, and it's going to cost them an extra $1 billion over the next year to in inflated cost. And so, well, that affects profits, so the stock tanks. The question now is, do you believe, if you own Ford, do you believe that this $10 range, which used to be a period where they would accumulate, major money managers would accumulate the stock, is the floor? If it doesn't hold, how much more pain are you willing to take when the bottom in Ford stock. The, not a bottom, the bottom is $4. That's a long way from 10. It's a really long way from 24. So how committed are you? And 10 years from now, with their commitment to electric cars, their battery, electric battery development program, they are very likely with their production capacity to be the major EV producer. But who knows? We don't know yet. They're committed.
They know how to. They do. They know how to sell cars. We've seen it. We've seen it in the past. And they're in, you know, supply chain issues right now. Those are going to fade away eventually. It's that old eventually again. When is that going to occur?
Go.
You know, how fast is that recovery going to happen? And you know, that's something that no one knows.
So if you're in the market, I mean, the real question is, what are you going to do, and how do you monitor it? I mean, we explain in our webinars how we monitor stuff. We have a cash benchmark exchange traded fund that we use. It's not cash. It's a cash equivalent kind of fund. It's very, very short term corporate paper. And we use that as a benchmark, and we want to own things that are doing better than that benchmark. And when there's nothing that's doing better than that benchmark, we are going to own nothing, because everything else is worse than a cash equivalent. Does that make any sense? Well, it does to us. It does to our clients. It's not always comfortable because of the volatility that the Fed has introduced into the market this year with its inability to make a consistent decision. That's
correct.
Not our fault, but it's reality.
And it drives the volatility, and it's no fun being in cash on a day when the S&P is up 2%. All of a sudden, you're missing this huge 2% up day. But the overall trend is still down. You know, we've talked about it before. All those biggest up days in the market always happen in bear markets. So that's almost an indicator that we're not out of the woods yet. Things are still bad when you have those big single up days. And right now, the next day is a down day. So it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of, hey, I think it just turned. But you need to take a step back, look at a little longer trend, and say, you know what? This has been in a downtrend all year. Nothing has changed that. Had a few great up days, a couple of weeks here and there where things got better. But overall, we're still in a down market. We're still in a bear market. And it's important to remember everything acts different in a bear market. Things are more likely to go down than go up. And that's where we are right now.
So the everything goes up, the market always goes up mantra isn't valid. Yeah. The buy the dip mantra isn't valid. Even value buyers find that value gets better the longer you wait. So the issue is, what are your rules and where are your limits? And you need a process for that, and you need some data. And if you're not going to watch it, you need to work with somebody who is actually going to watch it for you. And unfortunately, that's rules out the majority of financial advisors who are really just in the marketing and hold your hand business. I talked about that today on an ETF, that when you read the marketing material, and with a 7% dividend payout, man, a focus on risk management, focus on taxes, focus on diversification. I mean, it's a really good story, but it's down 30% for the year. Well,
not such a good story.
Somebody was sleeping at the switch. But the fact is, and the reason I know about it is because we get solicited for new products, which are the alternative to buying the standard pablum that most people end up with.
And they come in with a great narrative. The story's great. Oh, this should be fantastic. How's it doing? Well, it's doing terrible. Okay, that's all that matters. The narrative doesn't matter. You know, if you're down 25%, not something you want to put more money into at this point.
So anyway, you have to be really careful, because the stories are great. The issue is what's happening to the price, because the price is what determines in the result in your account. We are officially in a bear market. It doesn't matter which index you look at, the Dow, the NASDAQ, or the S&P 500. They're all more than 20% down from their highs. So right now, stocks are pricing in an endless interest rate hikes. Will it be endless? No. We know that things that go up never always go up. And as we saw last week with the Bank of England, their program of interest rate hikes, which started earlier than the Fed's, came to an abrupt end because of massive selling of British government bonds. Will the Fed do the same thing if that shows up here? Well, you know, flip a coin, probably a pretty good bet that they might pivot faster than we would expect or they want to. It depends on how much pain they are willing to bear when they're imposing pain on the U.S. economy as though it has no impact on them. And it doesn't, frankly. I mean, they make tons of money in their salary, and they're all very, very wealthy people. And Mary Daly, who's president of the San Francisco Regional Federal Reserve Bank, had the audacity last month when asked about inflation to say, I don't see what the problem is. It's not affecting me. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're making $500,000 a year or whatever it is she makes and you're worth several multi-million dollars, and so you've got $10 million in bonds or whatever you have, of course it's not hurting you. And you have a chauffeur. You're not stopping at the gas pump to pump the. You know, talk about disconnect. That's the entire Washington plethora of people who want to stand up and say, you know, we should spend some more money. That'll solve the problem. But it's not their money they're
totally
spending.
Totally out of touch. Yeah, completely out of touch with reality, which kind of hurts everybody.
So when you go borrow money to buy something that you can't afford at the present time and you lose your job, what happens to your standard of living? Well, that's an obvious answer. Mm-hmm. Well, the government borrows money that they can't afford to pay back, and it has no impact on their personal lives. So they just borrow more money. They put more in the system. And they say, oh, you don't want to work? Well, you need groceries and housing, right? So here's some money for you. I mean, the system right now is on the verge of breaking, in my opinion. We can't keep borrowing indefinitely with no, without any adverse impact. And that's kind of where the market's trying to figure out how we're going to solve this issue right now. We're up at the end of our hour. You want to talk to us during the week, the number is 800-317-9119. The email is help@irradio.com. help@irradio.com. Give us a call. We'll be glad to do a free analysis of your portfolio, answer questions, have a discussion. It's a freebie. But we are out of time. So God bless you. God bless your family. And God bless the United States of America. Watch the website for a replay link. God willing, we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend.